I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, I'm not going to try to waste your time this evening, but I have somewhat to preach to you. I have something I've got to get out. I'm not sure of the title, of if you care for titles, of what I'm going to preach tonight. I suppose I would just call it All the Counsel of God. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. I only want to read three verses, 25 through 27, of Acts chapter 20. I see you finding your place there. I'll wait for you. And as you find your place, you may rise for the reading of the Word. Paul is the one who's speaking here. Paul is departing Ephesus here for the last time. He knows it. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and things are going to change in his life. But I want to deal with one particular thing that he says to these people. And we'll begin in verse 25. And here the Scriptures pick up. It says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And Lord Jesus, please help us this evening. I ask you to help me to preach these things you laid upon my heart, and help me that I might be clear in what I say. And I ask you, Lord, that all of us might hear you clearly, Lord, and we might understand, Lord, and that we might, Lord, take things to heart and ponder over them and meditate over them, Lord, that we would have your work done in our heart. And I ask you this, Lord, due to the seriousness of this thing, Lord, and due to the depth of the depravity in this world, Lord, and how much we need to be working for you. And I ask you this, Lord Jesus, in your name, amen. You may be seated. Having read this portion of the Word, and again, I would like to deal, I believe, with all the counsel of God. And there's more. I would like to look at the fact that Paul said he was pure from the blood of all men. Pure from the blood of all men. There's something that's going on there when Paul says this. It was possible, you know, that Paul could have had blood on his hands. But he's saying, "My hands are clean because I've declared unto you all the counsel of God." Now, this goes back to a well-known teaching or doctrine among the Jews. And I want to read it to you. And you may read it with me. I'll be in the book of Ezekiel for two passages. Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33. And I'd like to read from Ezekiel 3. I thought about reading all of this as part of the text verses, but I did not, simply due to the fact I didn't want you to stand so long that you lost the meaning of this. But Paul spoke here of being pure from the blood of all men because he declared the whole counsel of God. And Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33 are the watchman phrases here. And young folks especially, I want y'all to pay attention tonight. I had no idea that there was going to be anybody here except for just Jade. And I thought, "Lord, why are you giving me this with only one person here under the age of 20? And I didn't know who all was going to be here. But I want you especially to pay attention tonight, if you will. In chapter 3 of Ezekiel, and I just want to read beginning verses 17 to 21. Ezekiel here is saying what the Lord told him. He said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." And I've got "from me" underlined. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him a warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." Do you understand what's been read there? It's the whole duty of a watchman and the whole purpose of a watchman and how he can deliver his soul. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'll read the first 9 verses. Please read with me if you will. Ezekiel chapter 33, the first 9 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, this speaks of judgment. When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow a trumpet and warn the people, and by the way, the trumpet's usually a picture of the Word of God, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, do you hear me? I'm not just reading, I want y'all to hear this. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What I'm trying to get to you tonight is this thing of why I find it so important to warn you specifically about sins, and why it's so important to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. I'm going to tell you where this came from. This past week, as I was looking through the news, there was it just briefly hit the news and then it was gone. There was a young man who was a student at Georgia Tech. I'm not sure how old he was, about 21 or something like that. And he was shot by police. Barely made a blurb in the news. And I looked at it, and as soon as I saw the picture, I thought, huh. And sure enough, he was president of their LGBT organization. In other words, he was a homosexual, transgender or something. He was mixed up pretty bad. And I'm not saying this to try to make fun of him or his family or anybody else. What struck me on this was not something to joke at and make fun of. I was looking at this and thinking, how did that young man get that mixed up? That's what I was thinking. He had, in his mental breakdown, they said he was having a mental breakdown, full of depression, drunk, left suicide notes in his dorm room, called the police, told them there was a suspicious-looking man. It's the only time and that's something. When he got down to commit suicide, he called himself a man. Before that, he wouldn't. On campus, carrying a gun, and went out, basically committed suicide by cop. Holding a knife, challenged him, and went up walking to him until they shot him. And I thought to myself, how does a person get that mixed up and messed up? Where did we fail along the way? Because what I saw out of his family, and of course his family's lawyer, was how they defended him. He didn't like being called him or her. He wanted to be called they and them. That's a plural word, isn't it? But anymore, you can demand anything, and there's people who will cave in. And so they spoke of him as they or them or there. And I'm wondering, how did we get to this point of foolishness that we'll do anything in the world to approve of people and will not correct them? And the university was, of course, the university plays right along and condones all of that behavior. And his family condones all that behavior. And because of all of this, there's a whole world out there that will condone every kind of sin. And because of this, Make it unpopular for him. Make him hate going outside. I mean that. Y'all, if you carry a kid outside, don't ever not whip him. Don't ever not whip a kid you carry outside. Because society has condoned every kind of wickedness, what we've done is we turn out people who are mixed up and they're uncorrected. That's why I was reading to you that about the watchman and his duty to say something and to warn people of the price of wickedness. And it's why I read to you that Paul said, I'm pure from the blood of all men because I've given you the whole counsel of God. He wasn't just saying that I'm pure from the blood of all men because I read every word in the Bible. And don't get me wrong, I believe in reading every word in the Bible. In my first 3 years here, I made it a point to try to preach from every book in the Bible just to where I wouldn't get bogged down in one place. I want you to hear all of the Bible. But I especially want you to hear the whole counsel of God. What does God counsel? Because somewhere that one missed it. I'll tell you the first thing He counsels that I would tell you is the wages of sin is death. And I think somehow that we're forgetting to counsel that. And I read that the other day. It's in Romans 6 and 23. And we read it without really diving into it, what the wages of sin is death means. And of course, it's talking about eternal death. But I tell you, on this world, the wages of sin is death. And you know, the public schools are not going to tell you, young men and women, they're not going to tell you the dangers of sinful behavior. They're going to condone sinful behavior and gloss right over it. And so it's left up to preachers, and it's left up to parents. And look, if you're parents, I'm trying to reach you. If you're grandparents, I'm trying to reach you. I'm trying to tell you why it's so important that you have these talks with your children and your grandchildren, because I'll promise you that the school system will not. As a matter of fact, they will talk against what I'm telling you tonight, but I'll promise you that they will not help you on this. You've got to be able to reach them and get an understanding that the wages of sin is death. That's part of the counsel of God. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I just told you that this young man who committed suicide by cop was transgender or and was homosexual. You know, there's a 4.6% rate across the whole world of people who commit attempt suicide somewhere in their life. Less than 5% of people attempt suicide somewhere in their life. For transgender people, it's over 40%. Over 40% attempt suicide. There is a heavy price to be paid for anybody that goes that way. Despite the fact that this world thinks it's the grandest thing of all for one of your kids to come out to be transgender or homosexual. There's a heavy price being paid by a generation that's being taught that that's right. And they're paying a heavy price because there's a watchman on the wall standing there warning them that the wages of sin is death. Over 69% of transsexuals will be homeless somewhere in their life. 69% will be homeless somewhere in their life. That's a heavy price to pay to be popular right now with society. 20-30% abuse drugs versus 9% of the total of people. 25% abuse alcohol versus 5% who are not. In other words, they're 5 times more likely to abuse alcohol. 2 or 3 times more likely to abuse drugs. Why? Because they hate themselves. And I'm not making that up. Psychologists call it different things. They'll say their self-esteem is low or whatever. They hate themselves. Why? Because they know what they're doing is wrong. And a whole society tells them it's right, but they know what they're doing is wrong. Because just because that they're mixed up doesn't mean they don't know what right and wrong are. And they know it's wrong. And we live in a world that's pushing this stuff, and we need to be the watchman on the walls. It's not just the preacher's job to say what's right and wrong. It's your job as well, especially if you're the head of the home.
Now, I realize those of you who are grandparents only have limited influence. I know that. But what influence you do have, try to make sure it's understood. Homosexuals are 12.2 times more likely to do meth. 12.2 times more likely to do meth. 9.5 times more likely to do heroin. 40% of homeless youth are LGBT. That's a heavy price that's being paid. Why doesn't somebody stand up and say, people, it's not just wrong, it'll kill you? Well, that's what I'm doing. And it's what you need to do. And for those of you who are under 20 here, I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm trying to reinforce you. Do you hear me? I'm not trying to beat you with facts. I'm trying to help you and reinforce you against a world that's trying to push all this junk on you. I'm trying to give you some kind of ammunition to stand against a world that wants to destroy you and try to give you something to keep from being destroyed and keep from falling in the path of saying everything's okay. And when you know good and well inside you, everything's not okay. The wages of sin is death. Well, let's get off of the homosexuality for a moment. Because that was just one example I was given. And the reason that one came to mind was because of what I told you spurred this whole thing. That young man who killed himself. Let's talk about drug use for a moment. I'm not chasing rabbits. I picked these things out on purpose. These are things that used to be preached from the pulpit, and I wondered that I'm not maybe a little slack and amiss in preaching them. You know, most drug users try it for the first time as a teenager. If you can make it to 20, your odds of being trapped in that go way down. If you make it to 20, most drug users try drugs for the first time as a teenager. For 70%, the first illegal drug, is marijuana. It is the gateway drug. And they try to tell us now, no, it's not. Yes, it is. 70% of drug users, their first illegal drug was marijuana. It's just a joint. It won't hurt you. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It's not against the Bible. Yes, it's a form of drunkenness. Yes, it is. And these things need to be taught. And people need to be warned. Why? Well, because drug use itself and leads to early death. Because it's associated with high rates of depression and, again, high rates of suicide. It's also associated with high rates of teen pregnancy. Not going there. Yes, I am. 60%, listen to me, 60% of teen mothers live in poverty. 60% of teen mothers live in poverty. What I'm trying to tell you is when a young girl becomes pregnant as a teenager, the chances are very, very good that it will destroy her life. Very, very good that it will destroy her life. Despite that Teen Mom TV show, which I've never seen, I hope you didn't fool around and watch it. This world glamorizes some things that will destroy you. 25% of teen moms have their second child within 2 years of the first. In other words, a teenage mother will usually become a multiple mother very quickly. It's not a learned lesson. It's an unlearned lesson. About 80%, did you hear me? 80%? About 80% of teen fathers do not marry the girl they got pregnant. About 80% of the time, the girl is abandoned. It's almost always a choice which destroys a young lady. Almost always. says only 30% remain in the relationship. If they won't get married, it's not a good relationship. And I realize it's pretty normal anymore, but it's not a good relationship. It confuses the children when they grow up. And I realize that what I'm preaching right now hits home for some of y'all. And I'm just sorry. It's just the way it is. It has to be preached. Teenage pregnancies are associated with low birth weight, high infant mortality rate. Any young lady who's pregnant before 17 has a very high increase in cervical cancer rates. And because so many teen pregnancies end up with single-parent homes, well, now we're going to single-parent homes. Children raised in single-parent homes often suffer from psychological problems because they do not have clear gender roles because they don't have mother and father at home. Well, I could go into divorce right there, too. Single-parent homes are unavoidable sometimes. One dies. Somebody runs off. But more and more and more and more in America, single-parent homes come simply from teen pregnancies. And a child is raised usually with no father. If he's a boy, he doesn't know what a man's supposed to do because his father wasn't a man. And if it's a girl, she often has a very bad idea of who what men are supposed to be, often because her mother has bitterness toward men. It's destructive. It's extremely destructive. And it gets worse. Did you know that 20% of Americans have an STD? Do y'all know what that is? We used to call it VD. Sexually transmitted disease. 20% is 1 in 5. When people go down there to the barroom looking for a mate, they're playing Russian roulette. 1 in 5. Did you know 20% of high school girls have an STD? Did you hear what I said? Boys? Because so far all I was saying seemed like it all went toward the girls, didn't it? 20% of high school girls have an STD, and you don't know who they are. No, you don't. Among the more common ones are things like chlamydia and herpes, which cannot be cured. Fifty percent of sexually active teenagers will have an STD before 25. 50%. What am I trying to tell you? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I'm trying to be a watchman. I'm trying to give you all the counsel of God. I'm trying to keep blood from being on my hands. I'm trying to stand before you and preach to you that the wages of sin is death, and furthermore, all unrighteousness is sin. And that's what it says in 1 John. 1 John 5:17, if you want the street address. I'm not going there, but all unrighteousness is sin. All. What does all unrighteousness mean? It means everything that's not righteous. Well, what's righteous? Well, God's righteous. So anything that's of God is righteous. Anything that's of the character of God is righteous, and everything else is sin. So should I do this or should I not do this? Well, is it of God? There's your answer. And one place in the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not just what all you should do. There's some things in there you shouldn't. I mean, in other words, there's sometimes if you know something's good to do and you don't do it, even that's sin. And the wages of sin is death. So what do we do? Well, I want to in this world tries to teach a version of God who just winks at sin, but our Bible doesn't support that. And this world teaches a version of repentance and confession because it teaches a version of confession and repentance that just means being sorry for your sin, sort of like you're sorry that you get caught, and confession just being saying with your mouth, and then everything's all right. But the word confession means more than that. It means literally to take sides with God against yourself. Repentance actually means a change in heart. And let me give you
really where I sum it up in the Bible better than anywhere, and I would that you would turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Because this is part of the whole counsel of God. Seeing the wages of sin is death, and seeing that all unrighteousness is sin, what's a man or a woman supposed to do? Because who will stand here and tell me they have not sinned? And who will stand here and tell me that they don't have any sin in their heart whatsoever that bothers them? They don't have any iniquity in their flesh, I should say, that bothers them. What is a person supposed to do? In Proverbs, in chapter 28 and 13, I've had this one marked and underlined and circled a long time. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth," and I've got underlined, "and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If you don't forsake them, you ain't done nothing. Repentance is not just simply saying, "I'm sorry I did that," but rather it's turning away from it and forsaking it. Forsaking it. It's part of the whole counsel of God, people. If you want mercy, it's not enough to say, "I'm sorry." It's not enough to say, "Well, I told God about it." But there's a forsaking that has to go on. Real repentance involves quitting it, turning away from it, hating it even. Because it says, "Ye who love the Lord, hate evil." Hate evil. And there's a reason I bring this up. Some of the things that I brought up tonight, you've either thought of or you've committed. I don't know. I don't know who you are. So what about you? Confess and forsake. It don't mean confess to the people. The people ain't the ones that need to forgive you. It's God. The confession is our confession is to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the forsaking has to go on in the heart. That's a picture of repentance. That's part of the whole counsel of God. Your sins have caused you death. Your sins have caused you problems. Your sins are the reason for all the problems we've got. The problems in your family and my family. The problems in this community and that community. They all come from our sins. What do we do about them? We confess them and we forsake them. We turn away from them. We've got to turn to God. What else is part of the whole counsel of God? Where He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's part of the whole counsel of God. There is somebody to turn to. Part of the whole counsel of God is where in John chapter 10 He said, "My sheep know My voice and they follow Me." See, there's more to it than just saying, "Okay, I see Jesus and I believe in Him and now I'll go off and continue in my sins." No, "My sheep know My voice and they follow Me." Real sheep follow the shepherd. Goats might not, but the real sheep will follow the shepherd. The wolf hate the shepherd. But the sheep love the shepherd. And that's part of the whole counsel of God too. There is a cure. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a fix. But it involves following Him and believing in Him. It involves that repentance that we spoke above. "Nay, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." It involves belief. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." How do you know? How do you know that you got the real deal? How do you know that what you've got is real? And that you're not going to pay those wages of sin? This is the last thing I'll go to. And I haven't covered a plan of salvation very well tonight. The main thing I wanted to get into is the wages of sin. But I didn't think it was right to cover that without covering the cure for sin. Last thing I would tell you is if it's real, you'll know it. You know how? Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Do you keep His commandments? Is it your desire to do good? Or is it your desire to follow your flesh? Do you desire to follow the Spirit of God? Or do you desire to follow your flesh? See, because one of those two is your master, and no man can serve two masters. And that'll tell you what you need to know about your status. And I didn't write down any kind of way to wrap this up, and I don't know that I'm going to. It was my intentions tonight, especially, to get into the wages of sin. And I might do it a little bit more. Because I'm not really preaching to the young folks here tonight. Even though I mentioned things that affect the young folks. I'm really more preaching to the parents and grandparents. Because you're the ones who have to teach these things. You're the ones that have to... You know, it said a watchman on the wall. Do you know what the wall is? The wall is a separation between the evil out there and the safety of your own family. What walls have you set up? If you set up none, you're going to be overrun. There's no help for you. Those walls are those standards that you've set up in your own household saying, we will not do this, or you're not going to go here. You're not going out by yourself on a date. You're 14 years old. There ain't no way you're going to do that. And if you ain't got the guts to set up those walls, you're going to be overrun. There's nothing I'm saying that's going to help you. And you're going to pay the price, and your kids are going to come home and either be pregnant or get somebody pregnant. And they're going to come home with problems. If you will not set up any walls around your own home, there's nothing I can say that's going to help you. But if you'll set up some walls, and I'm not even telling you what rules to set up for your house. I'm not the parent in your house. I'm not the head of your house. You're going to do that. But if you'll set up some things for your house, I'll try to stand on the walls and be a watchman for you. I'll try to help you out. And you try to help out your own kids, and I'll try to help you out. And in a world that will not tell them anything about the wages of sin, we'll try to cover them in here sometimes. And every now and again, we'll remind ourselves of why it's so important that we preach things like abstinence until marriage, which this world despises. Says it doesn't work. It's the only thing that does work 100% of the time. It does 100% of the time. If a young man and a young woman will wait until they get married, they will have zero diseases and they will have zero children out of wedlock. It's bulletproof. They say, well, nobody does that. Nobody believes that anymore. God does. And that's why we'll cover this stuff in here. I'm just trying to help you, is what I'm trying to say. You set your walls. You set your limits. You set your guidelines on your children. If they're your grandchildren, you just do the best you can to try to be an influence to help. And I'll try to be a watchman on your walls to sound the alarm of the evil that's out there. I'll try to give you the ammunition that you need to help teach the things that need to be taught to your kids. And that's where I was going tonight. And that's what I was reminded of when I saw that article about a young man that turned to the most popular thing in this world, that whole twisted up LGBT thing, and went out there and drunk, committed suicide. Now his family don't know why, and it's because that they failed him. And the whole society failed him. So I just want to do our best not to fail anybody here. We're going to close it out there. I know there's a business meeting. We'll go into it. And so we'll take a couple of minutes here after the service. But we'll close out with prayers as we normally do. I'll ask Tony, can you close us out with a word of prayer?